clap for me. I belong to the streets, belong to the streets, I belong to the streets. I want you, 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 you. I want you, 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 you. I want you, my darling. I want you, 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 you. I want. It's not for me. I belong to the streets, belong to the streets, I belong to the streets. I used to think I'm too strong for weak romance. I used to say, no, 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 I am no one's man. No, 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 no. It's not for me. I belong to the streets, belong to the streets, I belong to the streets. Now I want you, 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 you. I want you.
What you're about to experience is a brand new vibe.
Right about now, NWA quarters in full effect. Judge Trey residing. In the case of
something you've never experienced before.
The Isaac Quinn takes it and look for something better, but the smile that she shows makes me a goat.
Something strong. And infectious.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of the Saturday Night Fever Show with DJ Lee. And the first song for tonight will be Jikan ga Nai by the Japanese band Kilinji. Of course, you're listening to none other than WRCT Pittsburgh 88.3 FM.
No, you don't need so much. Sounds big but okay. And when you mess up, it's still great.
just heard Tanuki with Baby Baby No You Man, which was a remix version of Maria Takeuchi's 1987 classic Yume no Tsuzuki. Before that, that was Camino 84 with Sounds Fake But Okay. It was a remix version by Discoholic. Up next, we're going to listen to Televisor with Alliance.
Never ever sensing love, like I never loved, like I never loved. Yeah.
heard Young Bae with Fly With Me. Oh man, listening to this song, it just gives me goosebumps. This was my jam when I was a middle schooler. Very cool song. Before that, we had Find That Someone, again by Televisor. That was from his album, The Venture. Up next, we're going to have Nebula with Worldwide from the album, Gallery.
Thank you.
was the track Fly High by The Escalators, who were a Japanese funk band from the 1990s. Before that, we had Paper Moon Project with Dress Down. The original is, of course, the 1986 hit song by Kaoru Akimoto. Up next, we're going to have Vivian McCone with Heading Right Back to You.
I knew
track No More Sorrow by the Drizzlebone Soul Family. And before that, that track was called Surgeon by CC Peniston. And before that, of course, we had Heading Right Back to You by Vivian McCone. Up next, we're going to have something more well-aged. And by that, I mean a little bit older. Actually, 3 whole decades older than the previous track. Sylvia Stripling, Look Towards the Sky. Classic Soul, only on WRCT Pittsburgh 88.3 FM.
Stop.
And that was Chemistry with Can You Feel My Love, a very classic song that was sampled by a couple of future funk artists over the years. And before that was another song straight out of my middle school playlist, Betsy LaVette with I Can't Stop. The first time I heard that song, it was on a compilation, I think, and basically it just got me into funk and soul music. Oh man, so much nostalgia. Alright, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for me to go again. I hope you had a very good time for the last hour, and I will catch you next Saturday from 10 to 11 p.m. We're going to end our program tonight with another very special track, one of my favorites, Ordinary Joe by Terry Callier. Please rest well, have a very good rest of your weekend, and good night.
And for my opening line, I might try to indicate my state of mind, I turn you on, I tell you that I'm laughing just to keep from crying. Pretty music, when you hear it, keep on trying to get near it, a little rhythm for your spirit. Oh, but that's what it's for. Come on in, here's the door. And I've seen a sparrow get high and waste his time in the sky. He thinks it's easy to fly. He's just a little bit freer than I. Now here's a mystery, and maybe you can help to make it clear to me. When you're fast asleep, then what is it that's lighting up the dreams you see? All of your tears, I can't conceal it. And all of your prayers may not reveal it. You got soul so you can feel it. And when you make the scene, well, you know what I mean. Hey, I've seen a sparrow get high and waste his time in the sky. He thinks it's easy to fly. He's just a little bit freer than I. When you find folks are giving you the running round, keep your game uptight. And if you must, just take your secrets underground. Now politicians are trying to speak you. Mad color watchers are trying to teach you. Very few will really try to reach you. If you're lost in a stack, well, that's okay. To deny that I'm just an average guy. And don't you know each little bird in the sky is just a little bit freer than I. Hey, Ordinary Joe, although they say you're just a lazy so-and-so, what they think is real is nothing but an animated puppet show. So don't let time and space confuse you, and don't let name and form abuse you. When you think Joe Williams blues you, in the light of the sun you can see how they run. Oh, I've seen a sparrow get high and waste his time in the sky. And don't you know he thinks it's easy to fly? He's just a little bit freer than I.
This is Law and Disorder.
Today on Law and Disorder, we speak with Chris Hedges on the unfolding genocide in Gaza.
He He's not only our greatest journalist, he's a moral philosopher. We also speak with journalist Patrick Martin on the hundreds and hundreds of billionaires that we now have in the United States.
This massive concentration of wealth affects every aspect of life in America. Our elections, our media, our education system.
Stay with us.
I'm New York City attorney and author Michael Stephen Smith.
And I'm Jim Lafferty, a decades-long political activist and once the national director of the National Lawyers Guild. A week or so ago, the Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist Chris Hedges entitled his Substack report, Israel's Trojan Horse. In the article, Hedges claims that the temporary pier being built on the Mediterranean coast of Gaza by the Biden administration is really not there to alleviate the famine, but to herd Palestinians onto ships and into permanent exile. And Hedges backs up his claim with his citation of statements from top-ranked Israeli officials, including its defense minister, that Israel's true goal in its current war in Gaza is the removal of these Palestinian people still remaining in Palestine once the current U.S.-backed Israeli genocide finally ends. As we know, the situation on the ground in Gaza is already catastrophic in the extreme. The Oxfam report of March 15 accuses Israel of actively hindering aid operations in Gaza in defiance of the orders of the International Court of Justice. It notes that 1.7 million Palestinians, some 75% of the Gaza population, are facing famine, and two-thirds of the hospitals and over 80% of all health clinics in Gaza are no longer operative. And it states that Israel's control of Gaza, and I quote, continues to be characterized by deliberate restrictive actions that have led to a severe and systemic dysfunctionality in the delivery of aid, close quote, and quote, that the Israeli state is using starvation as a weapon of war. And so today on Law and Disorder, we've invited Chris Hedges back to the show to discuss his article and other matters having to do with the Israeli-Palestinian war. Chris Hedges is, as I've already noted, a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist, having won the prize while working for the New York Times and covering terrorism. He worked for nearly two decades as a foreign correspondent for the Times, National Public Radio, and other news organizations. Hedges is the author of numerous books, including War is a Force That Gives Us Meaning. Chris Hedges, a very warm welcome back to Law and Disorder.
Thank you.
Before we get to the issue of the pier and why it's really being built and all of that, what was your reaction to the U.S. abstaining on the U.N. ceasefire resolution? Did the Biden administration, do you think, do that as much or more for political reasons at home as it did for any humanitarian reasons? I mean, after all, Biden is losing support among his base over his support for Israel. So what was behind that abstention?
Optics. It is politically damaging. It's globally damaging. And they know what, as horrific as everything is in Gaza, the use of starvation, mass starvation, as a weapon. Remember, there are thousands of trucks right over the border, a couple kilometers over the border in Egypt, in the Sinai, that they won't, the Israelis will not let in. They know what's coming. And I think it's a way to put some, attempt to put some distance between themselves and Israel, while at the same time cutting support for the UN agency, UNRWA, that distributes food and aid, on which at least 300,000, several hundred thousand Palestinians depend. It's going to be, of course, this genocide is being live-streamed, in essence. And I think the Biden administration, which is a full partner in the genocide, I think